Somebody asked, what is the reason why you meet together on Sundays like this? And to that, the response was, the reason is risen. The reason is the risen Christ. Many times we tend to make this a regular ritual to say that, oh, Sundays we gather together, but there is a reason. It is because of the risen Christ. The Russian word for Sunday is Voskresenye. Voskresenye. Sorry if anybody knows Russian here. I may be twisting my tongue here. Voskresenye. If not, I'm glad nobody knows Russian here. Russian word for that word. It actually means Resurrection Day. It actually means Resurrection Day. So every communist, every atheist from Russia must speak of the resurrection when referring to the first day of the week. Did you know that? They have to use the word, and that word means resurrection, newness. The Greek word, now I came to Greek word, I don't know how many of us know Greek here. The Greek word for Sunday is kyriaki, not karaoke, kyriaki, kyrios. It actually means the Lord's Day. The Greek word for Sunday is kyriaki. It means the Lord's Day. Many times people, we keep wondering why is it called Lord's Day, etc. So this word kyriaki, which means Lord's Day, if it were to be translated to literal English, it could have been translated to as Sunday, as O-N-D-A-Y. I would rather prefer to be called S-O-N-D-A-Y, Sunday, because it is a day that the Son of God has risen from the dead. Till last Friday, for the past 6 weeks plus Good Friday, we were meditating on the last words of Jesus Christ. On the last words of Jesus Christ, how he was hanging on the cross and he was using those words of power, words of salvation, words of forgiveness, words of relationship. So as Jesus was speaking those final words, he said, it is finished, and Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. So this story was being told to our Sunday school children. And Sunday school teacher asked, okay, those were the last words of Jesus. Guess what could have been the first words of Jesus the moment he rose from the dead? What could have been the first words of Jesus the moment he rose from the dead? And one of the girls raises her hand and she says, Jesus would have said, ta-da, here I am. I mean, you see the little faith of children, how they were carefully, concentratingly listening to that story of how Jesus was using those last words on the cross, and suddenly now we see he showed up himself. It's a proof of the risen Savior that he has risen from the dead. Max Lucado, in his book, 6 Hours One Friday, he tells of a story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a large river. The tribe was in need of a medical attention. A contagious disease was spreading across the village and people were dying daily. That was the situation in that tribal area. A hospital was not too terribly far away. It's just across the river. These people were on this side of the river, and the hospital was just across the river. But the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits. And to enter its water would mean certain death. So they had this notion. They had this this thing that has been passed along from generation to generation that you shouldn't cross that river because there are evil spirits inside that river. The moment you get into the river, certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they were not impressed. He then took them to the bank of the river and placed his hand in the water. He said, see, I'm putting my hand in the water. They still wouldn't go in. He walked into the water up to his waist and splashed water on his face. Still, these people didn't believe. It didn't matter to them. They were still afraid to enter that river. Finally, this missionary, he dove into the river, swam beneath the surface until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then that these tribals broke into cheer and followed him across. You see this story? Many people, they don't believe that there is hope on the other side of the river. That there is hope on the other side of the river. They think this is the end of it. We are doomed. But there is one who has come into this world, who came down into this world and said, there is hope on the other side. There is hope on the other side. And he showed that by crossing the river. He died. And people thought he's dead. And on the third day, it's as if he raised his fist up and said triumphantly, I'm on the other side. Now you know, you can come. That is what Christ did, my dear. That is what Christ did. He died for you and I. And he showed that there is life after. There is life. There is hope. There's a hope of eternity on the other side of the river, that is heaven. On this side is earth. On the other side is heaven. Today, we are going to meditate on this sermon that is titled Resurrection. The word resurrection means risen. Risen again. That is what resurrection means. It might be a tough word. We don't use it much. But nowadays, I tend to hear this in some of the projects that people work in. That project got shelved. And suddenly they said, why don't we just resurrect that project? Let's start working on it. I thought, wow, these people, you know how to use that word resurrect. Then I thought, yes, people know it, but they don't really know what this resurrection is from a life perspective. Today we are going to meditate on two passages. And I have got it available for you right on the screen, on your sermon notes itself. So please join with me. And this picture, I really liked. Because most of the time we tend to see the picture from outside. Outside an empty grave. But this is from inside an empty grave. You see that? That was interesting and I thought I'll just put that picture. How it would be from inside looking out. And only few people on that day got a chance to go inside. And even now if you visit the place where Jesus was buried, the empty grave is still there. Let us read the scriptures portions from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 24 verses 5 to 9. Let us read this together, please. All together, please join with me. You can either look at the screen or the sermon notes, but please join with me in reading this together, all together, please. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the leaven and to the rest. May the Lord bless the reading of this scriptural portion. May the Lord enable us to be able to have an undivided attention to the listening of his word. And may we be transformed into his image as and when we continue to look at the scriptures. And may the Holy Spirit of God open our understanding in being able to know what he has in store for us. This particular portion talks about that first Easter. The sun that was risen, S-U-N, reminded of the fact that S-O-N was risen from the dead. Here we notice that the women came to see what was going on. We see here that they came seeking for Jesus who was crucified. They came to be able to bring some spices that they had prepared. And now we see here, the moment they saw that they did, verse 3 in Luke chapter 24, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus Christ. They were seeking to find the body of Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see here that they were spoken to by the two angels. And we see here in verse 5, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, or the angels said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's a question that was asked, and that question should be asked to each one of us as well. Whom are we seeking? Where are we seeking? Whom are we seeking and where are we seeking? Why are you seeking as well? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Jesus Christ has risen. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. And now notice what they say in verse 6. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Remember how he spoke to you while he was in Galilee. Something very important for us to understand what exactly was going on in this particular incident. These people were just coming. These people were just coming out of fear, out of a situation of bereavement, weeping. They came over, but the angels have spoken to this. And please note it down. The first word, remember. Remember. Very important for us to be able to understand what exactly was going on in this particular story about Jesus Christ, that he spoke. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. It is very important for us to be able to note that one word, remember. Because it is very important that Jesus spoke during that time. And I want us to refer to some of the scriptures where Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. One of us, could you please read Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21? Jesus spoke this. Jesus spoke, and there are multiple instances where we see that Jesus spoke this to his disciples. But there was a time in the situation and the struggle and the bereavement that these people were in, along with these women especially, they have to be reminded. Remember, the message of Easter is remember. The message of Easter is remember. Remember what Jesus spoke. Many times we are unable to remember what Jesus spoke when we are going through a certain situations in our lives. While we are sitting here, we are listening to messages week after week. But there will come a point of time when you will go through a situation in your life where God wants you to remember that word that came from the scriptures during a sermon or through anywhere else that you were hearing. Suddenly, God wants us to remember, because we are people who are forgetful people. We tend to remember the things that we shouldn't remember, and we tend to forget what we are supposed to remember. Forgetfulness is a gift, somebody said. It's good. Forgetting some people's weaknesses, forgetting some people's shortcomings, it's good. But there are certain things that we need to remember. The Bible says, forget not all his benefits in Psalm 103 in verse 2. We need to remember. Do this in remembrance of me when we take part in the communion that is set before us. Remembering is very, very important, and especially what Christ has done and what Christ had spoken. Do you remember God's word when you go through situations in your life? Do you remember the words of Jesus Christ when you are going through storms of life? Or do you go after the things of this world, trying to do a Google search, trying to see what is the solution for the problem that you are going through? Or do you remember, yes, Didn't Jesus say this? Didn't the word of God mention this? Can't I claim the promises of God? Can't I be comforted by the word of God? Yes, my dear. The message of Christmas is, remember what Jesus spoke. What God spoke to you. John chapter 2. Just keep this reference of our Luke 24. And let's move on to this particular incident that happened in John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Verse 19 onwards, I will read it. Listen to this carefully. John chapter 2, verse 19 onwards. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Notice this. Listen to this carefully. Verse 22. Verse 22 of John chapter 2. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. I love this verse. John, who wrote this particular book after Jesus was risen from the dead, while this story was going on, he just fast-forwarded a little and said, after Jesus, verse 22, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples, notice the word, remembered that he said this. We are forgetful people, and may the Lord enable us to remember what Jesus spoke. We may have the scriptures in our hands, we may have Bible apps in our hands, but there could come a point of time where we don't have the word of God in our reach. The only thing that will come to our rescue would be those that we remember. That is why we keep asking you to treasure God's word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Remember the word of Jesus Christ. So notice this. Back to Luke chapter 24, verse 6. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. Not just what he spoke, but how he spoke. Notice this. Jesus' words, we need to remember what he spoke and how he spoke as well. He spoke with authority. He spoke in such a manner that he would encourage us. He spoke in such a manner that he gave us the promise of hope and eternal life. Remember how he spoke. He showed before he spoke. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, all that Jesus did and teach, all that Jesus did and spoke. First he did, then he spoke. Did you know that? Such is the kind of an example we have with Jesus. Many of us, we are good in speaking out. We are good in telling, but rarely we show it out as to how we need to live out the word of God. It's a reminder for you and me, my dear. Show it. Speak it out. Show it. It's like practice. What you preach is what people say. Preach what you practice is what Jesus did. He preached what he practiced. The things that Jesus did and taught. I love that verse in Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. It reminds us of the fact that Jesus, when he spoke, he lived it out. Remember Jesus, how he spoke. And then in verse 7, what he spoke. That the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Though he allowed the people to be able to hold him or be delivered, his body was delivered into the hands of the sinful men, but his spirit, remember, he committed into the hands of the Father. That's what we meditated on Good Friday. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. But the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men. Delivered, be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. Jesus said this. Jesus was prepared for his death. And he shared it with his disciples. He said that, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll bring it up. Talking about his body. He knew He was well prepared and he was sharing with his disciples. And I love this, that sometimes we need to be reminded from the Word of God, through sermons, through people of God, keeping on reminding. Get reminded, my dear, you're going through this situation in your life. You're losing hope. You're losing hope. But remember the Word of God. Maybe you're in this particular situation. You may be sitting here, but you're losing hope. Maybe something is going on in your life where you lost hope. May I tell you, the message of Easter is the hope for the hopeless. Jesus Christ is that hope. And he's reminding, and in wonderfully it says in verse 8, you know what it says? Verse 8, Luke chapter 24 and verse 8. And they remembered his words. You may forget my words. You may forget any illustrations and anything that I might have used. But please do not forget the words of Jesus Christ. The references that I'm showing you, please do not forget that. Because these words have eternal life. Word of God transforms us. Word of God encourages us. Word of God comforts us. Word of God gives us hope. The words of Jesus. And they remembered his words. Verse 9. Notice this. Please note it down. And returned from the tomb. Note down the second word. Return. The moment you remember the word of God, the next instruction and the thing that you and I need to do is return from the tomb. He's not there. Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? I know you came to this place. You remembered the words of Jesus. What are you supposed to do? Stop weeping. Stop losing hope. You return. You return. Note down this word. Return from the tomb. Return from the tomb. And the third one, report. Easy to remember. Easy to remember. Resurrection. Remember. Return. And report. When you have experienced the risen Savior in your life, when you came to seek the Jesus Christ among the dead, you are reminded of what Jesus had spoken. When you have experienced that remembrance of what Christ has spoken and what he has fulfilled and how he spoke, as your life is transformed to be able to have the hope in that Jesus who lifted up his fist, in other words, with a triumphal escape from that river onto the other side, what are you supposed to do? You return from the tomb. You leave that place where it talks about the death because he is not among the dead. He is risen. You remember, you return. When you return, what do? Just close down your doors of your room and say, this is for myself, my God, my personal experience. I'm done with it. No. What are you supposed to do? You remember, you return. Your report. Book of Acts. If you haven't meditated upon it, I'm not talking about reading. If you haven't meditated upon the book of Acts, when you read it, focus on the word resurrection. Focus on the word witnesses of his resurrection. I tell you, it is repeatedly used in the book of Acts. As an early church, how were they able to stand forth? When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, and after a few days that he showed himself on this earth, he ascended into heaven. And these people waited for the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and at the uttermost parts of the world. What are you supposed to do? You report of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are the witnesses of the resurrected Christ. You and I cannot keep this good news to ourselves. When we remember what Christ has spoken and we return from the place where we were enlightened, we come back and report to these people. What a wonderful experience that is. Have we reported this risen Savior? Have we been the witnesses of his resurrection? A question to be able to answer each one of us from this particular aspect. They returned to the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. I don't know how many of them were there. Not only to the 11, but to all the rest. When you experience that hope and encouragement from God and his word, let me share with you, when you get back that hope when you were in a hopeless situation, share that with others. Share that with others. Share that small scripture portion saying that this is what God spoke to me. I thought it might encourage you as well. Report it. Report it. Maybe there are some others, maybe so-called disciples, so-called the ones who followed Jesus, they were also in fear. They lost hope. Maybe they were believers in Lord Jesus Christ. They have been, but the situations that they are going through in the storms of their life, they lost hope. What do you do? You and I are responsible to report it. Are you ready to report of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be his witness? May we do that. Remember these 3 points. Remember. Second one, return and report. That is from this Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 9. We'll quickly get on to the next scripture portions on the bottom from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I'm sorry, I think it's printed wrong. 28, verses 6 to 8. Let us read this together, please, as it is projected or is on your sermon notes, all together aloud. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. This is another gospel that is talking about the risen Christ. You can read Mark and John as well, but I picked up two of the gospel writers, and what happened during that time. Matthew records saying, he is not here, for he has risen, just like Luke spoke. Just as he said. He's a God. When he spoke, he fulfills what he spoke. That is a great thing that we should remember, and to be able to trust in the word of God. Are you relying on God's word? I'm asking you right now. Maybe you are going through a tough situation in your life, but let me encourage you through the word of God that we have a God who speaks and he fulfills what he speaks. Verse 6, you know what it says in the second part, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. Come, see the place where he was lying. Note it down. Come and see. Come and see. As you are experiencing this risen Christ, you and I need to have that personal experience with him. It is not a family thing about having that faith in Christ. It is your personal experience that God is wanting you and I to have. Come and see. Come and perceive what has happened. You come, don't stay there. You are standing in a place without hope. You are standing in a place where you are going through fear. You are standing in a place where you are thinking that everything is lost. But let me share with you today, from the word of God, you come and see. You come and experience. That is what he says here. Come, see the place where he was lying. The Bible says, Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's inviting, he's giving you an invitation to come and see, or come and witness what is happening in the life and the situation that happened with Jesus Christ. Come and see where he lay. And the second part about returning, verse 8. Somebody, can you please read verse 8, Matthew chapter 28, and verse 8. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report to his disciples. Once they experienced the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, when they remembered, their return was filled with fear and joy. Note it down. Their return was filled with fear and joy. You know what this kind of fear is? Reverence. The reverence towards the risen Savior. Knowing well that we have a Savior who came down into this world and he died for us on the cross of Calvary. The Son of Man had to be crucified, delivered into the hands of sinful men, and on the third day he will rise again. That is what the hope he has given us. Life on this earth, maybe for a few years, but the life that he has promised is for eternity. Some of us may live for a limited number of years, 50, 70, 90, I don't know how many years. But after that, what? What will happen after you die? Let me tell you, there's going to be something that will happen after you die. Your spirit will spend eternity. And where will you spend that eternity in? There are two places where your spirit could spend. One, in hell, where there is no Christ. There is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And everything that happens forever, there will be thirst, which cannot be quenched. And there is another place where you will spend eternity in heaven. In the presence of the living God, there is life after death. Eternal life that he has promised. And that for which he's saying, come and see that I have died for you on the cross of Calvary. That is what Jesus has died for us on the cross, for your sins and my sins. And all you need to do is experience him and return with fear and joy. It's a mixed feeling, let me tell you. It's a mixed feeling. Sometimes it could be some kind of a situation, but it is filled with joy. And that is what we see here, that they were returning with fear and great joy. Megas, that is a word that is used in Greek, megas. The word megas is translated as great. Great joy. Good news of great joy is not just during Christmas time. The good news of great joy is much more, can be experienced through the risen Savior, the Easter or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And finally, we see here in verse 7, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 7, it says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. So note it down, finally, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. That is what the message of Easter is. You remember, you return, and you report this good news. You have various media nowadays in order to share this news. And how are we using this media in order to be able to tell forth that he has risen indeed? I love that small word, indeed. He is risen indeed. Indeed as well. He showed it indeed in word and indeed. He showed it. You come and see. You return with fear and joy. And you go and tell. Go tell it on the mountains. Not only that Jesus Christ is born, but Jesus Christ died for your sins. He gave his life for you. And he is not in the grave anymore. The only grave that is empty is the grave of Jesus Christ, because he is no longer dead. He is alive. He has risen from the dead. Let me tell you, our faith stands on that. Our faith not only stands on the death of Lord Jesus Christ, but our faith stands on the victory of Lord Jesus Christ from the dead when he rose again from the dead. What a wonderful experience that is, my dear. Do you have that experience that Jesus died for you on the cross? He took the punishment of your sin and my sin on the cross. He shed his precious blood when he stretched out his hand on the cross and gave his life for us. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. Come and see. Are you afraid? Are you going through situations in your life where you are losing hope, let me tell you, the good news of Easter is we have a risen Savior who is victorious even over death. The greatest fear that people have is death. People are afraid. No wonder when there is fire, you don't want to go inside the fire. You want to escape from the fire. Why? Because you don't want to die. You don't want to die. You're afraid of death, in other words. You don't want to show yourself by falling into the fire and say, hey, this is what you try to prevent. You try to prevent people from the fire. Let me tell you, if he has come into this world to take away the fear of death itself from us, how much more can he take care of fear of the situations that are happening in your life? All he's saying is, come and see. Come. If you haven't come, if you haven't responded to the invitation of Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. As the Spirit of God leads you, you respond to that invitation. He's saying, come and see what is happening. And the moment you experience the risen Savior, your hopes will be so much enlightened that you will not have to worry about death or what will happen after death, because if you believe in Lord Jesus Christ, that he has come into this world to die for you, he is ready to forgive us of our sins and give you the gift of eternal life. What a wonderful hope that is. May each one of us sitting here and listening, each one of us, if you are losing hope in anything in your life, let me encourage you that we have hope through Jesus Christ. Just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was on a Friday, on the 5th of April, I tend to receive some emails from Family Life. So I got an email on that day, and that email has something related to the Easter message. So I was reading through that email, and that email said, the Easter story is all about restored relationships. God used the death and the resurrection of his son to restore our relationship with him. There is much every marriage can gain from carefully studying the Easter story. Then I thought, wow, there is much every marriage can gain from carefully studying the Easter story. From Easter story, studying about the restored relationships, and especially a marriage relationship? Have you ever thought through? It really dawned on me, thinking about the fact, relating Easter to a marriage relationship. Maybe you're losing hope. You're unable to have the hope of a marriage relationship. Maybe it's a reminder for each one of us that Easter brings forth through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the restored relationship that he has established with us. You can relate it to your marriage relationship as well. Interestingly, on the same day after I read through that email, I happened to go to UPS to post a letter to the embassy for my son's overseas citizenship related one. I went to the UPS store, and I was in a hurry. It was lunchtime. I thought I'll finish it, but there were people in front of me. It was a man and a woman that were standing in front of me. I was waiting, trying to figure out when I'll be able to give this to that person and get out and go back to work. On the same day, as I was standing behind them, it was exactly not behind them, I was on the side. They were standing here, the table was there, and I was standing here. My eyes went on to the what was happening on that particular table. And that person, the UPS person, he said to those two people, what's going on? What do you want me to do? Is there anything for me to post? He said, no, we came for notarization. He said, notary? Okay, well, what is this? What should I put the notary on? And they said, an agreement. He said that, okay, that's fine. So suddenly, it was in big, bold letters. My eyes couldn't get away from seeing what was there on that paper. And that agreement says, reconciliation agreement. Reconciliation agreement, and they're getting it notarized. And on that sheet, it said, on September 2018, we were separated. I was in Canada. My spouse is, the one with whom I'm having trouble. She's here in Maryland. We have set aside all our differences. And this is the reconciliation agreement. And we are here to sign in front of the notary. I tell you, the Lord reminded me of that email that I read just that morning. And I thought, Lord, I don't know why I came at this point of time and standing behind these two people, and now they are standing in front of the notary and they are saying, we want to restore our relationship. I was thankful to God that He's a God who's a God who restores relationships. Physical relationships, marriage relationships, but let me tell you much more, a relationship that we lost with God because of our sinful nature. Jesus Christ came down into this world. He died for you and I on the cross, and He rose again from the dead to restore the relationship that we need to have with God as our Father. That relationship. I don't know what kind of relationships that you are struggling with right now. Maybe you have struggled with your parents. Maybe you have struggled with your spouses. Maybe you have struggled with your in-laws or with your siblings or with your neighbors or sometimes even with your church family. I don't know what kind of struggles you are going through in your life. But let me tell you, we have a God who is ready to help you to restore that relationships. My faith, my hope got so renewed when I was reading through that and I was relating the Easter story with renewed relationships. Not only the relationship with God, but relationship with each other, my dear. That is the hope of Easter. That is the message of Easter. If you haven't had that relationship with God as your Savior, as your Father, the one who came into this world to die for you, maybe this Easter could be a day when you can come and experience that love of the Father. You can have that restored relationship that we lost because of the sinful nature that you and I are born in. Not only is He there to restore the relationship with God, but He has given us a hope while we are here on this earth that He is ready to restore that broken relationships that you may be going through right now. We have a God who's ready to give you that hope. Don't lose hope, my dear. Please, don't lose hope. You might say, done with it. I lost hope. That is when God wants to remind you. Remember. Remember. Return and report it. For the glory of God, report what Christ has done for you in your life. I hope you will remember this Easter message. And that not only do you want to have that restored relationship with God, but you have a restored relationship with each other. Please do not have any kind of bitter relationships with each other. Our life is so short. It's not worth fighting for the things of this world, going through struggles and differences. You take that step, my dear. Don't expect the other person to settle with you. You take that step forward and say, I want to have a clear conscience of setting up, going through this restored relationship. Before we take part in this table that is set before us, let us examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God. And with a renewed heart, with a hope that Easter brings forth. The weather outside, spring reminds us that there is a hope of life. The trees that don't have any leaves, they start blooming with flowers, showing forth a renewed life. What a wonderful experience it is for us to be able to experience that renewed life. Maybe the Lord has brought you forth today to listen to this word in order to restore that relationship with Him and with each other. Please, life is not worth the living going through broken and bitter relationships. Instead, spend time. The time that God has given for us on this earth. I don't know how long I'm going to live on this earth. I don't know how long you're going to live on this earth. But set right things with God and with people. And have the hope of eternal life. May the Lord bless this word.